Welcome to the Breaking Up with Burnout podcast, and I am your host, Tiffany Leader, clinical social worker and burnout coach with over 10 years of experience in the mental health field and life experience with burnout. I'd like to say I'm in burnout recovery. I am married to the love of my life, and we are full-time RVers living the tiny life and traveling the country as often as we can. This is one of the many ways that I prevent burnout. This podcast is for you if you are a high-achieving woman who have big goals and dreams for your life, but you are feeling exhausted and looking to take a moment. This is your moment. This is for you to discover fulfilling moments, to be encouraged, find support, and hopefully a laugh or two. Okay, take a deep breath, lean in, and open your heart and mind to what you may need. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Breaking Up with Burnout podcast. I am so excited to bring my guest with you today. She is somebody that I met last year, and I just think she has an amazing story, and I cannot wait for her to share. So my friend Christina is here, and Christina, why don't you introduce yourself and tell the listeners who you are?
Hello, I am Christina Weirich, and I am ex-burnout. corporate America, mother of twins. I am now also going through the journey of being a widow, so I can share how that brings about certain different levels of burnout as well. So yeah. I'm excited to share kind of how I navigate bringing myself out of burnout with all of you.
Yeah. Well, I am so glad to have you. And again, I just think you're an awesome person, and I'm excited for you to share. So tell us kind of what, you know, one of the things I talk about with people and with my clients is that there's early signs of burnout. Looking back, a lot of the times we don't realize what it is. So what were kind of some of your early signs of burnout that you, as you've looked back on your story, was like, maybe those were some things that were starting to cause the stress and cause the overwhelm that gets you to a place of burnout?
Well, I think just this constant feeling like I needed to like always be doing something.
Always going.
Mm-hmm. Because we feel like that, you know, it's like people talk about it, it's like a badge of honor or something. Like if you're working full time, raising kids, like going. Yeah. And I kind of have tendencies towards like workaholicism from my mom. So when I'm, you know, I give all I got to, you know, all I have to things, especially becoming a manager. I think it was like my biggest problem was like, I wanted to be the manager I never had, and I thought that I needed to like overcompensate for like the lack of support that I had, and like wound up almost being too supportive to my detriment.
Yeah.
And so I think that was almost detrimental to the staff that I left behind when I decided to step down, because they were so used to having somebody like come to their rescue all the time.
Yeah, I like how you said that. And I like how you said like you wanted to be the manager that you never had, which is a strength. Like in itself, that is the strength. But you recognize it, it came to an extreme. I always say strength to an extreme becomes our weakness. And it sounds like when it became an extreme, it kind of became a weakness for you and for your team, because they were relying on you to, like you said, rescue them. Like, what was that like for you to be in that position of like, man, like, I am rescuing these people on a regular basis.
I mean, I think as someone who has been diagnosed as codependent, it's kind of, I get filled up by other people like needing me or like feeling like I'm supportive of them. So it's, I guess, hard for me not to do that.
And again, it's a strength of yours. It's a superpower of yours, but taking to an extreme. Like, it's okay to support somebody and it's okay to be there for them. But when it's the extreme, like you said, the codependency part, that's where it becomes an extreme. That's where it becomes overextending yourself to meet those needs.
Yeah, I mean, I was on the phone constantly. You know what I mean? They would call me at like 3 in the morning when there was an issue at night. Like, I live down the street, so if like they forgot something, I would go open the store with them to like finish a counter. You know what I mean? Whatever it was, and it was exhausting because it was like I was there 60 hours almost a week and then constantly like on my phone. And then I also pride myself in like being a mentor. So I also felt like it carried over into also being a support for them, not only at work, but like in their personal lives too. And then in between all that, I'm raising twins. So, which, and then when 2020 hit and like the industry was just like the essential worker industry was very hard to navigate with. Because you're sitting there, like everybody else gets to go home and rest and protect themselves. And you're, you know, we didn't know what it was. So we were, it was like this whole added stress. It's like I've already been stressed out for whatever. I th like, trying to think, when were my daughters? 4 years, because they were born in 2016. So I'd like, literally gave birth to twins and went back to work full time 10 weeks later and like just went and went and went and went and went. No sleep. And then I fell and like broke my leg. And I was like given permission to rest finally and like look kind of like almost like this weird outer body experience where I'm like, you know, remove myself from the stress of it all and realize like how I couldn't function that way anymore because I wasn't taking care of myself
What
at
was
all.
that moment like for you when you had that realization that you were like, oh my gosh, I can't keep going in this way?
Well, it was hard that like I let myself get to such a point where like the depression and the exhaustion from like, you know, feeling like depleted and constantly like giving to everyone else around me and not giving to myself. And then, you know, I was using like, you know, food and alcohol and, you know what I mean? Just things to like cover the way that I felt. And then with 2020, like all these people getting, I just hit a wall because the stress of like them letting people choose not to come to work, like left me with like half the amount of employees and trying to like piece together a schedule to keep the store open. And I just feel like God, universe, whoever you believe in, just like stepped in and was like, you're unfortunately gonna have some drinks this night and you're gonna trip and you're gonna break your leg. and you're going to have to lay down and rest. And it was hard, right? Like, because you're used to going nonstop, but like, it was the biggest blessing of my life.
Yeah, I think so often us as women that feel, I think it's a, as high achievers, we do feel like we want to be on the go and constant, and that need to be needed almost like fills like something within us. And as helpers and as mentors, like that's also a thing. And so often we don't realize like the life that we're living, or we're even in burnout until something does happen with our health or something forces us to stop. That's why I'm so passionate to like share your story and share about burnout, is because like I want people to hear what we're talking about and say like, you don't have to break your leg to realize that you're at a place of burnout, or you don't have to have chronic health issues that stop you, that makes you realize that burnout is there. And so even though, like you said, it was a blessing to have that moment, but I think so often I hear from people is that, you know, I got to a point where like I was forced to like sit down, and you mentioned how hard that was. Can you like lean into that a little bit with us and tell us like, what was that like from like going and constantly going and doing and being this manager, and then all of a sudden you're like, I have to, like, I literally have to sit down and I have to deal with like being okay being down.
Yeah, I mean, at first I was like, because when I went to the doctor, right, I was thinking, okay, whatever, I broke my leg. And then he was like, no, like, this is like, you have to have a surgery, and like, you did ligament damage on top of breaking your leg, so you aren't going to be able to walk for 3 months. And I was like, what? Like, and it was my right foot, so I couldn't drive. I couldn't do anything.
Yeah.
I'm sitting here thinking, like, I have kids, like, that can't do anything for themselves. Like, what am I supposed to do? And I just, when I was, you know, after I had my surgery and I was like in pain, I realized that, I decided that it was like a gift rather than a hindrance. And that's when I really started like diving into self-development and, you know, masterminds and groups like that, and reading books and binging podcasts, and realizing that most of my stress I felt like was because I wasn't following the purpose that I felt like I had in my life. Like, I was depressed because I thought that like this was it. Like, okay, like, me and Chad bought a house. Great. We, you know what I mean? We each have good paying jobs. We have our kids. And now we just have to like work like dogs until we can retire. And I was upset that I wasn't writing books or doing writing or pursuing my dreams.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I finally decided that it was like time for me to figure out how to pursue my dreams alongside motherhood and working, right? And it took me 2 years to write a rough draft of a book, but you know, I wanted to prove to people that like you can work and create boundaries around work and your family, and still, you know, work out, try to eat better, write a little bit every day.
Yeah.
You know, even something as simple as like, I always talk about a simple example of like the method I made that I like write about in my book is like, I acknowledge after 4 years that I haven't read a book, and I like love to read, and I used to read all the time before I had my kids. And so I, made adjustments. Like instead of watching Netflix for an hour, I would read a book.
And something so simple as that can be so life-giving, and bringing something that's your favorite, like one of your favorite things you probably did. I love that shift.
So, it's just, I think when you're in the thick of like burnout and depression, you don't see hope in your future. Like you're just like, and you have to bring yourself out of it slowly but surely. And you can only do that by like acknowledging like the things that are holding you back, right? So it could be little simple changes. Like for me, it was like, okay, well, drinking wine every night is not making me feel better. So it's making me more burnt out. It's making me more tired. So deciding that that was something I wanted to eliminate, right? Or acknowledging that I wanted to move my body every day, whatever it could be, even though I couldn't walk, eventually they let me like ride a stationary bike. So I like did that because that's all I could do, right?
I love that so much. That's so much of like what I teach, is that it's those little things. I think so often we think there needs to be this big overhaul, which eventually, like, there's a great goal in that, but it's taking those small steps and saying, you know what? I'm gonna read because I love reading, or you know what? I'm gonna change the way I look at movement because literally, like, I can't move my body in the way that I want to, but I'm gonna do it in a way that I can. How did you, when you started making those shifts, like how did you start to feel when you like started reading and started moving in ways that felt like you were supporting yourself instead of just like, I feel like you were describing, you're just kind of like blindly just going and doing those things and kind of staying stuck.
Well, I definitely feel like when you're doing things that like fill you up, there's like kind of like a peace that honestly eventually comes with it. Even though obviously stress and things still come your way, I really worked hard during that time on like my self-talk, like not putting myself down or saying things like I hate my life, or you know what I mean? Because I would say that a lot, and I sometimes will even like stop myself because I mean, this past year has been very hard, and it has been easy for me to want to say that. But I the negative self-talk is the biggest thing, and then focusing on like today. Not focusing on the past or what I haven't done yet and only trying to like move forward. Because I feel like that's what I did a lot was just like live in the like woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, why have I not been more actively writing or pursuing writing a book for the past 10 years? And, I can't change it. Like the only thing I can do is move forward and try to write as much as I can in the allotted time I'm given between, A, B, C, and D, and all the other things in life.
And you did it. Like, it sounds like you found a rhythm, or you found that balance of saying, you know what? Maybe I don't have a ton of time to sit down and write, but I am going to do it, like you said, in between. I have a client that said she like fit her passion in the nooks and crannies of her life. And even though it may be small pieces, like you have, like you did it, like you wrote your book. So that's amazing.
I mean, it's sometimes it also is like, okay, I'm gonna use my week's vacation and just write.
Yeah.
It's like that's what I did
Yeah.
too, you know? But other than that, it's like just, I think learning to, if something's important to us, we make time for it. And I think that we think we have less time than we actually do.
Right.
And
Oh,
that's
so good.
something that I've learned because also after, like, once my leg was like about a year after I decided to do like 75 hard, I'm doing it again. But it's, I rec it's hard, but it's life changing in the sense that you realize you have a lot more time in your day if you like prioritize it. So it's like, you know, the checklist of 75 hard, like you can make your own checklist and follow it. If you know what I mean, like it's just,
So be
it's,
able to prioritize, like you said, prioritizing those things that fill you up, those things that bring purpose and bring meaning and bring peace to your life. And I think we can get stuck, like we don't have time because we get stuck in the rush of like, I gotta do all these things. I have all these responsibilities. I have this mental to-do list that just keeps going and going and going. But when we actually stop, when we actually like take breaks, when we actually prioritize different things, we realize how much time we actually do have. And maybe sometimes we realize like how much time we're wasting on things that don't serve a purpose in our life, but it just became a habit.
yeah, I mean, social media. I'm still guilty. You know what I mean?
Me
Rolling.
too. It's a constant thing.
Or like, you know, I say it's like okay to like, I still will like binge a show I love on Netflix or something, but like, if that's what we're doing constantly, then we're doing nothing else, right? And that's okay if that's what you want for your life. But if you want bigger things, then we can't prioritize binging shows constantly.
Exactly. Because there's a fine line in binging shows of relaxing and escaping life. And I think there's a time and a place to like have a pattern of change in your life. Maybe you need a break from the day to day and you need to relax. But if you're like choosing to binge because you are escaping, you're or avoiding things, or you're not wanting to deal with certain things, that's one thing versus just the enjoyment of a TV show.
Yeah, I understand that a lot. I, in 2023, escaped a lot in fiction books. So,
I
like,
think there's you it's easy to do that. It's easy to do that because we dive into the story. I'm like, I'm a re I just I bought a Kindle, was it last year? Because I love reading books. And I was like, you know what? You know, me in tiny living, like I can't have stacks and stacks of books in my house. So I was like, well, I'll just get a Kindle. And it has revived like my love for reading. So I'm not scrolling. So that this has helped me not scroll at the end of the day. Like I'll just pick up my Kindle if my husband's watching a show or YouTube or whatever, then I'll just pick up my Kindle and read before I go to bed. And it's revived my love of stories and reading and having something that's nice and relaxing. That, yeah, it's a screen, but it's not, I don't feel like it's a harsh screen like a TV, like a TV or a phone or whatever.
yeah. No, I definitely think, but it can be dangerous too.
Yes. Yeah,
For
it
me, it has. I mean,
can.
after losing Chad, I definitely feel like I'm trying to get myself out of it because I mean, I feel like reading to me is better than like screening a lot, but at the same time, like, you know, reading like 5 books in like a month is a lot, and probably I should just slow down and focus more on, doing more writing or posting more things surrounding grief or whatever, working on my finishing editing my book. But it's definitely easy to, overdo the things we love, and I've noticed that.
So it's finding balance, or finding, like, I like to call it rhythm, because I feel like balance is just very rigid. It's like either you're on balance or you're off balance. So we're always trying to find balance, but I like to call it rhythm because I think every season has a little bit of a different rhythm. So it might be that you're reading a little bit more, you're editing a little bit more, maybe you're moving in a different way. And so every season and every time in our life has a different rhythm. And speaking of that, I know you have mentioned a different level of burnout happens when you're dealing with grief. I would love for you to share a little bit more about how that has impacted your life.
Well, I think it's just a burnout of constantly feeling sorrow. And I think that, I never really understood the depths of grief until like I lost my dad in February of 2023, and then I lost my husband March of 2023. And I mean, losing Chad was probably the hardest one because he was only 43, and now I'm left with my daughters who were only 6 at the time, and there's all this like it's like with my dad, it was like I had so much life with him, and he was in his 70s, and it seems like the natural progression of life where like when you lose a spouse so young, you're like grieving the life that you wish you were going to have with them that you don't get. And so it's nobody would blame me if I laid in bed all day, right? But I didn't get that choice because I have kids, but I definitely, felt sorrow and like not wanting to like do much last year. You know what I mean? Not wanting to go out much, losing myself in like fiction books to escape my reality, just exhaustion from like barely sleeping, like I'm starting to sleep better, but like for most of 2023, I think I would wake up almost every hour, just not just thinking of him or the future or stressing out about, what am I gonna, you're just exhausted. You're burnt out because you're like the only parent. And for a lot of days I would like by the like I'm rushing the kids out the door, and it would usually be on Mondays for some reason. I get them off to school, and then you just like cry because you're like, it's just me. And you're almost like burnt out just thinking about how it's just you forever. You know what I mean? Like you're because you just honestly, when you're in the thick of grief, you just think you're never gonna not be stuck in sorrow.
And I think grief, whether it's grief, whether it's depression, whether it's burnout, whether it's a combination, whether it's overwhelm or chronic stress, any of that, we get stuck in this cycle and we don't think there's a light at the end of the tunnel. What has been your light and what has been your shift when it comes to this season of grief, and how, you had a season before that where you realized, like, whoa, I'm burnt out. I'm being this manager that I wanted to be for other people. Then I was like doing too much. I was going into the extremes. And now it's like, okay, I'm in another level of grief. How have you used one, your past and coming out of that burnout to kind of apply to now and what you're dealing with now?
Well, I jumped into therapy immediately, which I think has been helpful. I feel like because of therapy, I have been able to like move through over the year the, different levels of grief, like
Different stages.
anger, depression, bargaining. Like I've done it all, and now I feel like I'm in a place where there's a new stage that's called like finding meaning. And but I think like if I hadn't had done the work or had the tools that I created in 2020, like after I broke my leg, I don't think I would have come out of this season as well as, I mean, I obviously still cry. I'm never gonna not be sad about this loss, but I realized like during the holidays, like I like really allowed myself to like feel the depression and the sorrow and the sadness and cried a lot. And then like the after the first 2 weeks, I kind of like reflected like of the new year, and I was like, okay, you have let yourself, you know what I mean? Like be burnt out. You felt the things, you've done the work, and now it's I like acknowledge that I didn't want to feel sorrow anymore. I wanted grief to be by my side, like because it'll be with me forever, but not like block the road ahead of me.
Oh, that's so good. And I think there's so much to be said about like allowing yourself, giving yourself permission to feel. I think so often we don't. And that's what happens is like this stuff gets trapped in our body and it's like that roadblock. And but if you give ourselves permission to feel, like you said, you're like, now I'm ready to not feel this way. Like now I've dealt with it, I felt it. Now, yes, it'll be a companion, but it'll be a different, I'll be traveling a different road. It's not going to be a stumbling block anymore.
Well, I think being in like grief groups too has helped because I've seen how it can affect people years down the road. Like a person in one of my groups was still angry about the death of their father from, I think, 2020 or something. You know what I mean? And I know it's easy for us to get. It's easy to get stuck in the stages, but I think if you acknowledge each stage and like let yourself move through it, it just makes a big difference. And for my daughters, it's like I can't be stuck in either any of the levels for too long, right? 'Cause that's like not fair to them. I mean, they don't understand the capacity. They're too young. It's sad. I feel bad. I mean, they say they miss their dad, right? They understand he's gone, but like, they don't understand, because they're still happy and innocent and like find joy in life. And so I can't continue to be like, let it hold us all three of us back. You know, like I let myself feel those things, but like I still like I try not to cry around them. Most of my crying was like done in the backyard at night, like by myself. But like I decided now, like since my tears only kind of come in like 5 minute increments randomly, that I would be okay with like showing them that I still am sad, because
yeah.
I think they'll forget why, you know, mommy might not quite be the same as she once was, but yeah. She's trying, you know what right. I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And to be able to show them, I think there's an appropriateness to sharing emotion with kids, to, because it gives them permission to say, you know, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to feel this way. It's okay to miss dad in this way. So I think that is so good. And I think also I wanted to touch on your just acceptance that it's been a journey. And that, like, it's not just like you can turn the grief off or turn the burnout off or turn the stress off. It was like you have gone through a journey. And I think so often we can say, okay, well, what do I need to do to get out of burnout? Or what do I need to do to get out of grief or whatever it is? And it's like, okay, if I just do these things, then I'll be good. It's almost like a checklist in a way. But I think the reality of it, it's a bit of a roller coaster in a way. And it's a bit of like, we got to feel these things. I always say feeling is healing. And we've got to acknowledge that it is a journey of a little bit of ups and downs to get to the place where you want to be. I don't think we can skip that part.
Yeah. Well, I think like a good example is like when, because I was on this journey right before with like my message being like broke into brave, because I literally like broke myself, mm-hmm. like physically, emotionally,
yeah.
Like writing this book, like how do you like get yourself out of being broken,
mm-hmm.
and then go to being brave and following your dreams or whatever it is. But even in that course of me writing,
mm-hmm.
for 2 years, like I still experienced like burnout.
Yeah.
Weeks where I didn't get to like write because, you know, work demanded more of me, or my kids were sick and demanded more of me.
Yeah.
And so I started to think, once Chad died, I was like, is my message different?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized it's not, because we're constantly falling, we're constantly breaking, and then we're like getting back up, right? Like life doesn't care like who we are, like, you know, it's like we're like, when people are like, I can't imagine, or like, why did that happen to you? And I'm like, I don't know why, but like none of us are like immune to like tragedy.
Right.
Or immune to brokenness. Like right. It's like a constant battle. Like we want to like get, not be burnt out, but I think burnout is something we can strive to overcome and stay out of, but it's going to come in seasons still throughout life. Right.
Yeah. And I think too, I always say burnout recovery. I try to say more. I've been saying this more and thinking about this more. It's like, it's burnout recovery. And if you think of like tradition, like I worked in substance abuse recovery for a long time as a therapist. And I kind of equate it to that. Like, you have to have your tools in place for prevention, and mm-hmm. you'll always be in recovery, because you'll always have the tendency to go back to your knee-jerk reaction of the constant wanting to be running, the need to need other people, the always the doing. I just did a podcast recently on the do mentality. Like, we feel like we have to do things all the time, and so we all are human, and we can always go, we can drift back easily to those things. But it's about recognizing them, and like you said, like using the tools that we have built in our lives and have learned to get through the present journey that we're going through, or recognizing like, oh, I am getting a little bit burnt out. Okay, what can I do now so that I don't go full-fledged back into there and like break my leg again or get sick again?
Yeah, no, exactly. It's like coming back to center almost, right? It's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah, you're going to have bad weeks, but like, okay, like last week sucked. Okay, this week let's try again and like try to stick to our routine, try to read more, try to write, or, you know, work, move our body more, or like You get sick, you can't really work out for a week because it's better for you to rest. Okay, so that doesn't mean you throw in the towel on working out forever. You just take the
Exactly.
week off, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. I keep saying, like, just because it's a bad day doesn't mean it's a bad life. And
Yeah.
same, like, if it's a bad week, okay, it's a bad week. It doesn't mean life has to be bad. It's just things have happened, that don't feel good.
Yes, I agree.
Cool. So, I would love for you to share a little bit about things that you have. You've talked about your book, so I'd love to share like where you're at in the process of your book and other things that you may be working on to share with other people.
Well, the thing I'm going to get out into the world the fastest is a grief journal that I'm working on. It was
Nice.
really healing for me to write letters to Chad. And so I am creating a journal that like kind of prompts you to write letters to your loved ones and then also talks about the different stages
Yeah.
throughout it of grief. And that's kind of to like honor my dad and Chad too, like as I approach like the year. And
Yeah.
then my book, I'm still editing and I'm trying to add some of this newest story to it too. So hopefully that'll be out by the end of the year.
That's
So.
awesome. I love both. I love how you're taking what you've experienced and you're putting it into different things that you can give and have a ripple effect on other people so that people can be encouraged and inspired by your journey. But also for you to say, I got you. I've
Yeah.
got you. Like, this is how I've got you, and I'm giving you these resources because you were saying your heart is like you like to mentor, and this is your way of mentoring without being burnt out.
Yes.
Yeah.
I just didn't understand grief. I feel like I said this before, but
Okay.
until you like really lose someone that's like very significant to your life, like I feel like we all have that like those like five people, or you know what
Yeah.
I mean? Like
Yeah.
just like a certain group of people that when they go, it's just different and
Definitely.
it's a different. And I feel bad that I didn't understand that until now. And so I think a lot of people don't understand grief and I don't think it's talked about enough. So
I would agree.
I felt compelled to share, I guess, as like either to help someone who is going through it or prepare someone for unfortunately when it happens to them.
Yeah, because it is inevitable
Yes.
as far as the nature of life and the cycle of life. We hope that like unexpected grief doesn't happen, but the reality is that it does. And so, yeah, I love that what you're doing is also not just like helping people understand and heal grief, but also to prepare for grief as well. Yeah. Awesome. That's so good. I love it so much. So, how can the people find you?
Instagram is usually where I like to hang out. Christina Noel Weirich is my handle. I've also like reignited my blog, so hopefully I'll be writing more on there, and that's ChristinaNoelWeirich.com.
Okay.
So, just follow on Instagram because that's probably where you will find out when the journal and the book are released.
Awesome. And I will put all of Christina's information in the show notes as well, so that all the link once this releases, all her links will be down there for you to follow her and be inspired by her on a daily basis. So thank you, Christina, so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You guys, didn't you just love Christina's story? I love her honesty, her realness, and just sharing what she's been through. So make sure you follow her on all the socials. I will have her information in the show notes. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As you know, if this can get in the hands of other people, I would love that. So if you could share it, rate it, review it, subscribe, all the things, I would be so grateful. And as always, I am so grateful for you being here. I will see you next time on Breaking Up with Burnout podcast.